Thursby comes to bring the message now, and his text is from John chapter 1, verse 29, speaking about Christ, the Lamb of God.
All of us have heard the poem, we've recited it from childhood, Mary Had a Little Lamb. Well, of course, that poem is about a literal lamb that followed a girl. But really, when you read the Word of God through the eyes of faith, you discover that Mary did have a little lamb. And that lamb was the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the great names of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Bible is the Lamb. From beginning to end in the Word of God, we find Jesus Christ, the Lamb. The key verse we're going to be looking at is John chapter 1 and verse 29. When John the Baptist looked upon the Lord Jesus Christ, let me read the verse to you, John 1:29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. We're going to consider four phrases from the Bible that pretty well summarize what the Word of God has to say about Jesus Christ, the Lamb. The first phrase is a question. It's found in Genesis chapter 22 and verse 7, where Isaac says, Where is the Lamb? You know the story of Genesis chapter 22, when God said to Abraham, Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Every statement in that verse sort of tugs at our hearts. Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, which means laughter. He's brought so much joy into your life. Isaac, whom thou lovest. And here we have Abraham taking his son Isaac, who was a young man at this time. He's often pictured as a little boy, but he was a young man at this time, taking him to sacrifice him on an altar. Now, of course, our loving Father in heaven never asks for human sacrifices. In fact, all throughout the Old Testament scriptures, he condemned the Jewish people for imitating their pagan neighbors by giving their children as sacrifices. It has well been said that God did not want Isaac's life, he wanted Abraham's heart. And Isaac logically asked the question, Where is the lamb? He says, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? This is the question that was asked throughout the Old Testament period. Where is the lamb? Now, Abraham's answer was a good answer. My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Actually, when he placed Isaac on the altar and was about to kill him, God provided a ram that took Isaac's place. But Abraham was looking far beyond Mount Moriah. He was looking to Mount Calvary. And that's why he answered, God will provide himself a lamb, not only for a burnt offering, but for a sin offering, and for a peace offering, and for a trespass offering. Because Jesus Christ came and fulfilled all of those Old Testament sacrifices. Where is the lamb? Well, a few years later, when Israel went down into Egypt, and then Israel was persecuted, and then Moses led them out of Egypt, and we meet the lamb again. It's interesting in Exodus chapter 12, where it was the blood of the lamb that set them free from the bondage of Egypt. I've noticed in my Bible in Exodus chapter 12, in verse 3, Moses says that they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house. Then in verse 4 it says, if the household be too little for the lamb. And then in verse 5 it says, your lamb. That's interesting, isn't it? A lamb, the lamb, your lamb. And so Israel got to know the lamb a little better at the Exodus time because the blood of the lamb was shed that they might not be slain by the death angel. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7, of course, gives to us a wonderful answer to that question, where is the lamb? Because the prophet says, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Where is the lamb? That's the great question in the Old Testament. Well, the question is answered by John the Baptist in John chapter 1 and verse 29, when he said about the Lord Jesus, "Behold the Lamb! Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world." Now, this is a very important statement, because just about every phrase in that statement in John 1:29 tells us something about the Lord Jesus. For example, John says, "Behold the Lamb." Now, in the Old Testament, there had been many lambs. Every Passover, thousands of lambs were slain. In fact, at the tabernacle and in the temple, at least two lambs were slain every day. And then you add to this the special sacrifices that were brought by the people, and you can well imagine that millions of lambs had been slain up to that time. But here he says, "Behold the Lamb." Here is the final lamb. Once and for all, a sacrifice is going to be made. And that's quite a contrast, isn't it? The blood of bulls and goats and lambs can never really deal with the sin problem. But John said, here is one lamb that will take care of it. This is the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. This is not man's lamb. Man did not want him. He was rejected by his own people. His own relatives didn't understand him. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. He was not man's lamb. He was God's lamb. He was despised and rejected of men, and he was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Now, because he was God's lamb, he was perfect. You'll recall that at the Passover time, they had to pen up their lambs and watch them to make sure that they were perfect. You could not bring to the Lord a sacrifice that was not perfect. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ was examined from every side. The demons admitted he was the Son of God. Pilate said, "I find no fault in him." Even Judas said he had betrayed innocent blood. The soldier said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." The Lord Jesus Christ was examined on every side, and they discovered he was holy, harmless, undefiled. He was a lamb without spot and without blemish. Now, spots come from a defilement on the outside. Blemishes come from decay on the inside. On the outside and on the inside, Jesus Christ, God's Lamb, was perfect. Here we have a Lamb that takes away sin. There was not a Lamb in the entire Old Testament that took away sin. The blood of the Lamb could cover sin. The blood of a sacrifice could cover sin, but never take it away. It is not possible for the blood of bulls and of goats to take away sin, because those sacrifices are animal sacrifices, and the blood of an animal cannot deal with the sin of a human being made in the image of God. Furthermore, those animal sacrifices were not willing. They were not voluntary. No lamb ever volunteered to die. But when Jesus Christ came, he was voluntarily the sacrifice for our sins, and his blood takes away sin. There is complete and final forgiveness. Their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. One lamb, not many lambs, God's lamb, not man's lamb. A lamb whose sacrifice takes away sin, not simply covers sin. And did you notice in verse 29 that the Lamb of God takes away the sin of the world? Now the ram died for Isaac. There you have a sacrifice for the individual. In Exodus chapter 12, have a sacrifice for the individual. In Exodus chapter 12, they selected their lamb for the household. In Isaiah 53:7, we are told that the Lord Jesus Christ is God's lamb who died for the sins of his nation, for the sins of his own people. And so we have a lamb for the individual, and we have a lamb for the household. We have a lamb for the nation. But here we have a lamb for the whole world. Takes away the sin of the world. That's why we have a missionary outreach. That's why you and I are concerned about getting out the gospel, because we have a Savior whose sacrifice can take care of the sins of the world. Behold the Lamb. Now, there's a third statement. It's found in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 12. worthy, worthy is the Lamb. When you read Revelation chapter 5, you're up in heaven, and all of the choirs of heaven are singing. 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands who are saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb." And this Lamb, of course, is Jesus Christ. 29 times in the book of the Revelation, he's called the Lamb. And it's not just the ordinary word for lamb, it's the word for the little pet lamb. "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Where is the Lamb? That's the question of the ages. "Behold the Lamb." There's the answer to that question. "Worthy is the Lamb." That's our worshipful response. What a delight it is just to worship the Lord Jesus, to praise Him because He died for us. There's a fourth statement that summarizes this teaching about the Lamb. It's found in Revelation chapter 6 and verse 16. The Lamb has opened up the seals up in heaven, and judgment is coming. And the kings of the earth, I read in verse 15, and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every slave and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb." What a statement. Hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. Now, no one ever connects a lamb with wrath. We think of a lamb in terms of meekness, humility. But here in Revelation chapter 6, we are told that the day is going to come when unbelievers, people who have rejected Jesus Christ, are going to cry out and they're going to want to hide from the face of the Lamb. I trust that that's not true in your life. I think that many of you listening to me are not saying, "Hide us from the face of the Lamb." No, you are saying, "Worthy is the Lamb," and you are praising Him. Everything in the book of Revelation ties in with the Lamb. The throne is the throne of the Lamb. The temple is the temple of the Lamb. The light in the city is the Lamb. The Lamb is the light thereof. The marriage is the marriage of the Lamb. And the book that has the names of the saved people in it is the Lamb's book. My friend, have you trusted the Lamb of God who takes away sin? Now, if you have not, right now you can. Just ask Him by faith to save you, because He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Where is the Lamb? Well, that question doesn't have to be asked anymore. John the Baptist answered it for us. "Behold the Lamb." And if you have beheld Him by faith, if you have trusted Him, then you are saying in your heart and with your lips, "Worthy is the Lamb." But if you haven't trusted Him, one day you may be saying, "Hide us from the Lamb, for the great day of His wrath is come."